Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give you glory, Jesus. You are so faithful. You are so good. What a mighty God you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a powerful name. What a powerful name. Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you are on the move on the earth today. You are not old news. You are good news.
Praise you, God.
You are not out of date. You are timeless and mighty and powerful. And your blood still has the power to set lives free. Thank you, Jesus. What a powerful name it is. Thank you, Lord. God, this morning, I thank you for every person in this room. I thank you that you are meticulously focused on every person in this room. That nothing they have walked through this week has been missed by your gaze. Nothing they have thought or done or desired has missed your attention. Nothing that has come at them or after them has missed your heart. And that this morning, God, your desire is to see every person in this room set free to a greater extent, step into a greater level of effectiveness and authority in the kingdom, to experience and encounter a greater level of your glory in their lives, not just in church on Sunday, but on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would show yourself mighty to us today and in the days to come. God, we believe that there is a shifting season happening at Evangel. And it's not just because of us. It's not just for us. Lord, you want to do something fresh in our city. And so you want to change the hearts of the people of God so that we are ready for the things that you want to do in this city. You spoke to us in prayer meeting this week and told us to stretch out our tent pegs and to widen our tents. You want us to prepare our house here, because more people are going to find the hope of Christ. Prodigals are going to come home. And you're going to do something fresh and new among us. God, prepare our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody who wants that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team. What a rich sense of God's presence here this morning as we worship Him. We're doing something a little different. Just started this morning. Pre-service prayer down in our new encounter room. If you haven't seen the encounter room, you need to check that out downstairs. But we are going to be starting pre-service prayer at 9:30 to about, it'll finish sharply at 10:15, because the worship team needs to do what they need to do and get ready for the service. But I invite you, if you want to join us before the service, 9:30, we're going to be spending time in prayer. And this morning, what a powerful time of we had in the prayer room. So good. Two announcements that we forgot. That Pam forgot, but I wasn't going to say it. She just said it. Today is your last day, or your last Sunday, to buy tickets for our anniversary banquet that's happening at Gowan Bray 2 weeks from yesterday. 2 weeks from yesterday, banquet for our 90th anniversary weekend. You need to buy your tickets today. You can buy them at the office until Thursday, but we need to let the caterer know by the end of the week. So today's your last Sunday. If you didn't come prepared, you're going to have to get them this week or tonight. All right. Second thing is, as Pam mentioned, Kids Jam is launching this Wednesday. There are some final touches to kind of getting the room downstairs decorated and ready. The team is doing a great job. Some really cool theme decoration things going on. Just look at Agent W over here, and you can imagine some cool stuff down there. But if you got some time this afternoon between 2 and 4 and you want to help with some decorating, they would appreciate it. Big time. All right. Good. How y'all doing? Good. Can we switch over the screen there? That would be awesome. Great. Yeah, and two things I want to mention. Did it go to sleep or something? Ah, that's cool. Not. Okay, well, can you talk while I walk? I can talk while I walk. Can you listen while I walk? Because I got some things to say that I can say while I go back there and fix it. So I want to tell you, sorry for our people on live stream. You're going to hear a disembodied voice. But I want to talk about School of the Spirit that launches tonight. And we're excited about that. Oh, we need a password, that's why. We're excited about School of the Spirit. What is School of the Spirit?
What is it?
I'm glad you asked. I don't know what happened to my computer, but there we go. Okay. School of the Spirit is a school where we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, which makes sense. We're going to be, our Sunday evening services, I made a deal with the crew last week in our Sunday evening service, as we talked about School of Spirit and getting ready for it. Some of them, you know, we've been downstairs for the summer, and it's been really sweet environment of worship down there, because we're not spread 50 people all across the room up here. It's been cozy and close, and it's been just a really sweet atmosphere. But the seats downstairs were less comfortable than the seats upstairs. We got some feedback, some bottom feedback. And so I made a deal with the crew last week that we would come back upstairs Sunday evenings if they would agree to sit in the middle section on Sunday night. So I'm going to ask you, if you come Sunday night, sit in the middle so we don't lose that sense of togetherness as we get spread all across this room. And just have a rich time of worship. But so we're gonna start our Sunday evenings with just a couple songs of worship, and then get right into some teaching, and leave time at the end for some more worship and or just a workshop atmosphere where we actually I'm going to use the word practice, although that doesn't sound very spiritual, but we're going to actually practice the things that we talk about. So if we're talking about hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, we're going to take some time to listen and see, how do I hear His voice? If we're going to talk about, yes.
Can we talk about practicing Thursday night?
Sure. So if we're going to talk about praying for somebody, you know, how do we pray for somebody for healing? Then we will actually pray for people for healing and see what happens. And so Pam just mentioned this past Wednesday night, we had training for our altar ministry team, which launches today at the end of the service. They're going to be available to pray with you and for you. But we had some training with them, and in that training, we practiced. We had them pray for each other. And as they were practicing, somebody got healed. Right? Practice isn't unspiritual. It's just doing, you know, doing what you're not used to doing. That's all practice is, right? And so we want this fall in our evening services, we want to learn and grow together. How do we live this spirit-filled, spirit-empowered life that Jesus called us to live? Let's learn and grow together. Does that sound good? Yeah. All right. So that's what School of Spirit is. And as Pam mentioned, the Heart for the House pledge cards in your bulletin, we're in a themed season of Heart for the House. And of course, the house being this family, right? This house, not necessarily the building, but we are living stones built together into a house for God. Amen? So the evangel house is you. Heart for the House is a heart for what God is doing among us. And so the big question we're asking in this series, the message series, is what kind of church will we be? As we kind of get into a new ministry season, as we look at the year of ministry ahead of us, we're asking these important vision questions. What kind of church will we be? Do we believe God wants us to be? What kind of church? So we don't stop and ask that question. We'll just go on autopilot. Right? Is that not true of us as individuals? If we don't say, what kind of person does God want me to be? We just go on autopilot. But when we ask him, God, what kind of person do you want me to be? All of a sudden, he says some things that might be a challenge for us or might be difficult for us. And we're like, did I want to really hear that? Right? Right? But I need to hear that. Right? So what kind of church will we be? And as we look into the future, I believe that God is going to lead us. I believe he is leading us into some amazing mission opportunities in the days ahead. And those mission opportunities need resources. And so we're just asking you to consider, as a family, as a couple, as a person, what would you be able to invest in the kingdom work that God wants us to do over and above your regular tithes and offerings to just say, I want to be a part of seeing us move into the future. This is about our 90th anniversary, where we don't just want to look backward, we want to look forward. Amen? So if you'll take those, pray, see what the Lord speaks into your heart, and then just hand that in once you feel you've heard from the Lord between now and Thanksgiving Sunday. That would be awesome. Amen. All right, let's get into our message. Last week we looked at family. Last week's message was on family. And in talking about family, I just want to emphasize again, we've got 8 Connect groups starting up this fall. That's awesome, by the way. 8 Connect groups, 8 opportunities to get plugged into a microcosm of the church, a small family where you can get cared for and care for others, speak into each other's lives, encourage each other, get around the word together and learn and grow. What a fantastic atmosphere when you can sit across the table from somebody and and talk about Jesus and be encouraged, built up in your faith. So please make sure you check that out and get signed up for a Connect group this fall. So that was last week we talked about family. This week we're talking about mission. Dun, dun, dun. What's that? A lifeguard chair. Hunting stand. Hunting seagulls, I guess, or dolphins or something. No, it's a lifeguard stand. The person sitting on this chair has a very clear mission. Very clear mission. They are there to watch the people in the water, to watch for their safety, to watch for any problems or dangers. And if there's any reason that they need to respond, that they would do so, that they would jump off their chair and they would run out into the water, risk their lives for the sake of those who are in distress. Their mission is absolutely clear. And as they sit in that chair, it's not time to take a nap. It would be a really terrible thing if the person sitting in that chair brought along one of those neck pillows because they just wanted to, they didn't get to sleep as early as they wanted to last night, and they're just going to take this opportunity. The waves are just, oh, it's so beautiful. I'm just going to take a nap. Right? Wouldn't that be terrible if the person who has the mission to guard the people in the water would just take a nap? Here are some guys fighting a fire. I'm assuming they're guys. They may not be guys. Some firefighters. Let's be gender appropriate. So there are some firefighters doing what they they wait on pins and needles for that siren to go off. And when the siren goes off, their mission is absolutely clear. They are there to save lives. They are there to stop fires. Can you imagine a conversation between these two firefighters, where the one on the left says to the one on the right, "I'm feeling a little peckish. Got the munchies. I think I'm going to slip down to the store and get some Lay's potato chips. You want anything?" Right? Can you imagine that conversation? I mean, this guy has a mission to do, and it's not to go to the corner store for some chips. He's there, she's there to stop this fire, and the mission is clear, and there are lives at stake if they don't do the mission that they are there to do. Here's Evangel team out in Coronation Park this summer, getting ready for water wars. Aren't they a good-looking bunch? With their Evangel staff t-shirts on, and they're there because they have a mission. It's not just a water fight. That was fun. But the water fight was because of a mission. The things that we do, the fun things that we do, dressing up like Agent W and doing fun things with kids downstairs and all the things that we do, we don't do them just because we like goofing off. We do them because of the mission. And folks, if you know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, I was going to say I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. Sorry, not sorry. You have a mission. You are on a mission. And you may say, well, I didn't sign up for it. Somebody just led me. They tricked me. It led me in a sinner's prayer, and now you're telling me I got a mission? Folks, Jesus stepped out of heaven. He left the glory of heaven to come to earth, and he walked He kicked around dirt like you and I. He slummed it with us for 33 years. And at the end of that 33 years, he endured the cross, scorning its shame for the joy set before him. He had a mission. And the mission was to save you and to save me. And he was willing to do whatever it took. He was willing to step out of his comfort zone because he had a mission. And when he plucked you and I out of the world and out of our sin and out of our darkness and he brought us into his light, he did so with a purpose because he wanted to ignite your life with a mission. He didn't just want to save you out by the skin of your teeth so you could go on, you know, Jesus retirement until he comes back. He rescued you out so that he could fill your life with purpose. So that he could set your feet not on a path that led to destruction that, oops, oh well. But so that he could fill your life with mission and purpose. And so we ask the question, why are we here? Why are we here? An existential question, big word that just means asking about why we exist. That's all existential means. Why do I exist? Why are we here? Why Evangel? Why this church? Why are you part of this family? Why did God somehow in his wisdom and majesty and his care for your life lead you into this church family? And why are you connected with us? Why are we a family together? And why? Why are we located at Basin and King Street? Why? There's a purpose and a plan in all of it. God has us on a mission. Why are we here? The church is one of the only organizations in the world that doesn't exist primarily for its members. Church is one of the only organizations on the earth that doesn't exist primarily for its members. The church does not exist for you. The church exists for the mission. Got quiet in here, didn't it? Wow. Wow. The moment we begin to believe the church exists for us, to serve our needs, to make us happy, to do what makes us comfortable, is the moment that we as a church begin to die. The moment that we lose sight of the mission. There is a gravitational pull in organizations to become self-serving. And it has been so from the beginning for the people of God. Let me take you on a quick history tour. God came to Abraham, said, Abraham, I want to bless you so that you will be a blessing and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through you. Fast forward a few hundred years later, and the Jewish people believe that it's all about them, and they're the only ones that matter. That they're God's special people, and everyone else are dogs. They would literally call them dogs. Because they'd lost sight of God's mission. In Isaiah 49, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years after Abraham, God says in Isaiah 49, it is too small a thing. He says this, this is God the Father speaking to Jesus prophetically, 700 years before Jesus came into the world. God the Father speaking to Jesus prophetically through Isaiah. It is too small a thing that you should come only for the houses of Israel, but you will be a light for the Gentiles and hope for the nations. God had to remind Israel that it is not about you, it is about the nations. That God wants to change this world and He wants to use you. Fast forward 700 years and Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up a mountain halfway through His ministry because God is about to manifest His glory on that mountain as an encouragement to Jesus. Jesus is going to step back into His heavenly glory for just a moment. And the glory of God touches down on the mount. We call it the Mount of Transfiguration. That's not what the mountain was called, but we don't even know where it was. We just know He's on a hill, and the glory of God comes down, and Peter, James, and John are on their faces under the glory of God. And then Peter says, I think we should build some tents and stay here. Because the glory of God is just nice. I've got hair standing up in the back of my neck. I think we should stay here. I got the warm fuzzies. I think we should just stay here because the glory of God is so nice. Jesus says, no. We've got to go down off the mountain because there's somebody at the bottom of this hill that needs to be set free from the demonic power that has racked their life for years, and we need to go with this glory into that situation and see their life set free. Peter had forgotten that it was about the mission. He thought it was just about him enjoying the glory. Fast forward a little more, and Jesus says to the church, just before he ascends into heaven, He's taken before their very eyes out of this plane of existence and into glory. Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus is taken from their vision. Fast forward few more years. And the church is still huddled in Jerusalem. Historians tell us that probably about 70% of Jerusalem had become followers of Jesus before Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD. But they were huddling in Jerusalem. And so an outbreak of persecution begins to happen. And Saul has Stephen killed. And more Christians are killed and imprisoned. And the Bible says after that happened, the church began to spread out to other parts of the region. Began to go into Samaria, began to go into the island of Crete and into present-day Turkey and began to spread out to Damascus and other places. God actually had to use persecution to get the church out of the box because they had fallen into this gravitational pull that the church is about us for no more. Get all you can all you get, and sit on your can. Right? It's just about us having an experience with God and keeping it, you know, just staying in that place. No, it's about the mission. It's about going. It's about the fact that Jesus put us in this city. We are in Bathurst for a kingdom assignment, as Pam used that word this morning, a kingdom assignment. And I know many of you have this burning in your heart as well, but this is a reminder to all of us that we are here for a purpose. We are here for others. We are here to see this world and this city changed. Why are we talking about things like serving coffee in the foyer. Let's go back there. Mentioned that last week. We're going to start Thanksgiving weekend, serving coffee in the foyer before and after the service. I know some of you, it's a stretch. It's a struggle. Not sure why we would do that. So just because Pastor Andrew likes coffee? Absolutely. I don't know if I'll even drink coffee. Maybe. I already have like 2 or 3 cups of coffee before I get here in the morning. I don't need more coffee. It's not for me. It's because I want this to be like God's living room where people, if you invite somebody over to your house and you don't serve them, you don't offer them a drink of water, a cup of coffee, cup of tea. It's not really hospitable. I want to create an atmosphere where people go, oh, it feels like home here. It just feels good to just hang out with people here. Why, of all the things we could do in this city, why are we in a skate park? I don't know that any one of you could stand up straight on a skateboard. I probably couldn't either. Why on earth are we in a skate park? Well, it's not because we love skateboards. It's because we love people. It's because we have a mission. And this is a door that God has opened for us, and we're saying, as Paul said, I will do whatever it takes. I will become whatever I need to become with, you know, godliness and holiness in mind, of course, but I will become whatever I need to become. I will do whatever I need to do so that lost people can be found by Jesus. I want my motto to be whatever it takes. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I said this a few weeks ago, this summer in a message, that I've always read this as, well, we're just going to hunker down because the gates of Hades are attacking us, but they're not gonna win. Jesus is gonna save us in the end. We'll be okay. It's kind of how I always read that. It's not gonna prevail against us, but gates don't attack. Who's on the defensive here? Is it me or is it Hades? Is it me or the forces of hell that are in defensive position in this verse? The church is not a fortress where we hide away from the world. It is a force where we change the world. We need to realize that God has called us to go out into the places of darkness in this city where Jesus is needed. Because we carry him. I hear a lot of grief these days about the organized church. Oh, I don't like the organized church. Well, it's way better than the disorganized church. Right? Come on. And the reason we organize is for the mission. Otherwise, you can just go do church in your home. It's fine. But if we're going to be on a mission, we need resources. We need people. We need to pull together. If we're going to transform a city, God wants to raise up a people who are willing to work together in unity to do that. We organize for the sake of the mission. The Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, the fellowship body that we are a part of, started in 1919 only because of missions. See, they'd all kind of left other denominations because they got baptized in the Holy Spirit, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and they didn't fit anymore in some of the churches and denominations they were a part of. And so they left those, and they built little groups of people who gathered together for the sake of praying together and reaching their neighbors and friends. And then they realized that there were people around the world who needed Jesus. They said, well, we don't really want to start another denomination. We came out of one of those. Like, why would we start another one? But then they're thinking, well, our church doesn't have enough resources to send a missionary, but maybe if we partner with yours, maybe if we organize together, we could send some missionaries. And so they started a network of churches that they pooled their resources so they could send missionaries. We organize for the sake of mission. So what is our mission? Well, let's take it right from Jesus' words. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, said Jesus. Therefore, go. Therefore, go. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, says Jesus. Now I'm delegating to you. I'm sending you. This is called apostolic authority. That sounds like a big word, but it just means the authority of somebody who's been sent with authority. We have authority in Bathurst because Jesus said to us, go into Bathurst. Amen? That means there is legal kingdom of God authority that rests upon us if we will go in the name of Jesus. Go and make disciples of all nations. And that word nations is the same word that's translated as Gentiles. So it's basically all people groups. Anybody, wherever you find them. That's what that means. Go and make disciples. Here's a question. You ready? Can you point to a disciple you've made? See, Jesus didn't say, go, and the pastor will make disciples. He didn't say, go, and somebody else will look after it for you. Said, go and make disciples. And I know that sounds scary. It sounds big. It sounds like, ooh, how do I make a disciple? Just go and live your Jesus life before people and tell them about Jesus. And because you're just a little bit further down the road, you say, hey, want to journey with me? Want to come with me? Want to learn how to serve Jesus together with me? You pour your heart into them and you encourage them and you help them in their journey. It's not tough, but it's, folks, it's our mission. It's not what Evangel was given to do, it's what you were given to do. And as we work together on this mission, we can accomplish it together. It's the co-mission, that's right. Commission. Jesus sent us to work together with him, in co-partners with him, and to work together with each other to get the job done. Amen? We are sent to make disciples, to baptize them, and teach them to obey. So we have worded it this way at Evangel. It's the same thing, but we've worded it this way, that we want to exalt God in everything. We want to be a place of God's glory, a place of worship, a place where God is exalted. We want to foster an atmosphere of the glory of God. Not so we can sit in the glory and just enjoy it, but so we can be strengthened by His glory, empowered by His glory for the mission. Secondly, to engage, second E word, to engage people with the good news of Jesus. I guarantee you, this week, you bumped into at least a dozen people who need the hope of Christ. Just pick one and pray for them until God does something in their life. Can you do that? To engage people with the good news of Jesus. Secondly, to equip people to be mature followers of Christ. That means getting together in connect groups and encouraging each other and helping each other grow in maturity. It means teaching on Sunday morning like this, where I don't just tell you what you want to hear, but I tell you what you need to hear, what I need to hear, so that we are in love, matured and strengthened and helped to be all that God calls us to be. And then to empower everyone for ministry. If Jesus cast a legion of demons out of a guy and then said, I want you to go tell people about me, I think you qualify for ministry. Because you're somewhere above just set free from a legion of demons. I'm not sure where, but somewhere above. I don't know. So you are a candidate for ministry. And whether that's, again, I want to remind you of the opportunities all around this room that you can find to serve here at our church this fall in the ministries that we have here. But it also means wherever you go, the hobbies that you have are kingdom assignments, folks. The workplaces where you go are kingdom assignments. The school where you go is a kingdom assignment. Let's stand. I'm going to ask the worship team to come, and I'm going to ask the altar ministry team, brand new altar ministry team, to come on up, prepare to minister in prayer with those who come. I'm going to ask you guys to spread out here. It's not all clumped together, all across the platform here. Let's move down. Thank you. All right. Jesus is here this morning. Thank you, Lord. Jesus is here this morning, and He wants to be the place that you run to. Maybe you want to say this morning, I need to pull out of a summer slump. Or I need to pull out of a slump I've been in for a month, a year, a decade. And I need to find out what my calling and mission is. And I need to live full out for Jesus. Just want to make a fresh commitment before the Lord this morning. Or maybe you're here this morning and you've got some messy or painful things going on in your life that you need to bring to Him this morning. Maybe a sickness you're dealing with, maybe a a disease. Maybe you got a diagnosis the last couple weeks that floored you. Maybe you've got a broken relationship, broken marriage, financial situation, whatever it is this morning, you need a miracle working God to step into your circumstances. So we're going to do this at the end of every service. From now on, we're going to have a team ready to pray with you. We're going to ask you to press in for a few moments. Make opportunity for God to do something that He wants to do in your life. If you need to recommit your heart to Jesus, maybe you've wandered from the faith. This morning you need to make a fresh commitment to the Lord. Whatever it is. I want to pray. And our service is officially finished when I pray. So if you want to visit, we encourage you to do that out in the lobby. And just let this be a space of just ministry and prayer in here. I encourage those of you who need a miracle-working God to step into your circumstances, to just come forward, receive prayer, receive ministry this morning. I'm going to pray. As soon as I say amen, I ask you to, if you just feel a tug of the Holy Spirit in your heart this morning, that you would come and find someone to pray with you. Father, I thank you that you are a miracle-working God. I thank you that you are a missionary God who stepped out of heaven and you came into this earth to seek and to save the lost. I thank you that most of us in this room are the result of you coming on a mission, of you coming to save us out of sin and brokenness, and you rescued us. I thank you that you have given us a mission, that you're at work in our lives, and you want to see through us, you want to see people in this city set free. God, I pray that you would set our feet back on the path if we've drifted off. Set our feet back on the path of the mission that you've called us to. Pray that you'd move across the front of this room this morning in miracle-working power. I pray that you would heal the sick, that you would restore broken relationships, that you would bring hope to those who are here to repent and to turn back to you. I pray, God, that you would do what only you can do in this room. And we pray it in the powerful name of Jesus. And everybody say, amen. Amen.
Song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe.